And joining us on Perspectives today is Soman Chaney. Soman is a Harvard-educated fairy tale expert, and he is the author of the New York Times best-selling book, The School for Good and Evil. And I say book, but it's actually a trilogy, and it's a very interesting twist on fairy tales. And we're going to talk a little bit about that with Soman in just a minute. And Soman, again, thank you very much for being with us here today.
I really appreciate being there.
Now, as far as I mentioned, first of all, that you are a fairy tale expert, and our listeners might be wondering, what is a fairy tale expert?
Well, I mean, I think when I went to college, I was hoping to be an English major, but I wasn't sure what I was going to study, you know? And I think the one sort of mainstay of my life was I had been obsessed with Disney movies as a kid. We had grown up without cable, without internet, and all we had was kind of every Disney movie ever made. So I was really obsessed with those stories, you know? And it was only once I went to college that I realized that the Disney movies are not the real fairy tales, you know? And I became so obsessed with that gap between my childhood and what the real stories were and how Disney had changed them that I wanted sort of to dedicate my college years to them.
So, Soman, tell me a little bit about, you mentioned that watching the Disney movies, and I think I'm in your category too, because we didn't have cable, we didn't have internet, and we had a lot of, in fact, I don't even remember if we had VHS, but we would borrow some. And what made you upset about Disney?
I think it was the fact that, you know, you buy into this surface that, you know, you get the prince, you get the castle, you get all these things, but you never really question what it takes to earn it. Just because you're kind of sweet and beautiful doesn't earn you a prince, doesn't earn you a fairy tale happy ending, you know? And I wanted to question that. Like, if you look at The Little Mermaid, that's the one that makes me the most annoyed, because you have this girl who disobeys her parents and her friends, goes to the surface and follows this prince she knows absolutely nothing about. She gives up her voice for him, her freedom for him, everything for him. And in the end, for making the worst decision in the history of humankind, she is rewarded for it and ends up marrying a guy even though he's never heard her speak, you know? So it bothers me. I felt like if you look at the original Little Mermaid, she dies for good reason because she made such bad decisions. She left her family and friends behind for a guy she didn't know. But then, you know, the Disney version endorses this completely anti-feminist worldview. So I wanted to go back to what the original fairy tales were all about.
We are visiting with award-winning New York Times bestselling author Soman Chaney. He is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. Now, when you talked about The Little Mermaid there and perhaps some of the other fairy tales that Disney made movies about, a lot of us, you know, like you just mentioned, we grew up thinking that that's the way the story was. And then we read the real story. And then for another shock value, we read even more, I want to say, grim, like Grim Reaper stories about the fact that some of these very fairy tales were pretty bad and scary.
So I think that became
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Crucial to bring back that horror and that edge and all those things. You know, like I think I wanted to make sure that School for Good and Evil was much scarier than any Disney movie you're ever going to see, because not just for, you know, silly thrills, but to harken back to what fairy tales really were, which were back then there was no adolescence. You know, you went straight from being a child to an adult. There was no period of time where you got to just, you know, run around and be a teenager. They didn't define that period of time. And so I wanted to write this kind of story that was more of an old-school survival guide to life, where kids had to deal with danger. You know, they weren't protected from it. And so the difference between something like School for Good and Evil and Harry Potter is that this is not a warm world. This is not a safe world where adults are trying to protect you. You have to mistrust everybody. Everybody is potentially an enemy. It's a much edgier place.
And when we are reading fairy tales, and as you mentioned, some of them had to be updated, correct me if I'm wrong, but were fairy tales originally written as a way to teach children a lesson?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it wasn't so didactic. It wasn't like, you know, here's the moral of the story. It was very much like, be wary of what's out there. You know, here are the things that are facing you, you know? And so I think that was more the point and what I was after, where Disney turned it into sort of aspirational entertainment.
We are visiting with Soman Chaney, and he is the New York Times bestselling author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. You have some very good reviews out about the trilogy, but the chief editor at HarperCollins said that when he read the first sentence of your manuscript, that he automatically knew that it was a winner, and that you use different kinds of language, different kinds of way of telling a fairy tale. For people who may not be familiar with your trilogy, bring us up to date on that, Soman.
Yeah, I mean, I think what makes this different is that it is a very hard-edged book. And so you have kids and adults who sort of are kind of, you know, fans of it equally. And so the first book looks at good and evil and sort of blows up what those things are in terms of what we think in modern society. The second book looks at boys and girls and those stereotypes and kind of blows all those up, too. And then the third book looks at old and young and what those mean.
What about the fact that you mentioned earlier Disney and, you know, the misconceptions or whatever you want to call it about the stories? And some people were upset when Pocahontas came out and then also Joseph, because they said that they took some history and they turned it around completely. Mm.
Tricky, because I think those aren't fairy tales. And so it becomes very difficult when you try to Disneyfy stories that are historical. You know, you're sort of stuck. And luckily, in School for Good and Evil, I'm not really concerned with historical things. I do my own interpretation of the Camelot myth, but, you know, down the road. I think I was also wary about dealing with characters that already have such a clear narrative to them. Like, you won't see Snow White and Cinderella and all these characters running around the book, because I'd rather do new characters. So the whole idea was to find the kind of anxieties of modern children and move on to a new class instead of worrying about the old class. Because, I mean, how many times can we see movies with Cinderella and Snow White and all these people? I'm sort of over it. So I just feel like I wanted to do something different.
And was it difficult coming up with new characters that perhaps, you know, children and adults would like?
I don't know. I don't think necessarily difficult as much as, you know, I think there was a new story to be told, which is that, you know, Disney has sold us on this idea of the pink princess and the kind of, like, you know, dark featured witch. And I think I wanted to blow that up. So we have, you know, this pink princess who turns out to be the worst person in the world. And this kind of very witchy girl who ends up being, you know, the one that we root for. So it was really just sort of blowing up things that we were used to seeing.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author and award-winning author Soman Chaney, and he is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. The first book, it starts off with the story about, you know, two best friends. And I would imagine that, you know, when people read that, of course, go, okay, well, this is a story about two friends, which is okay. That's how other books start sometimes. But that's where it stops being like other books. And as you mentioned, you take on some completely different twist. We end up cheering for the person we thought we were going to hate. And I think that is something that perhaps also picks up some of the readers and young adults especially, because we live in an age now where it's always been a problem, bullying. But the fact that it's now on the internet and people get bullied for all the wrong reasons. And as you mentioned, the early Disney movies, I watched them too. And there were misconceptions there, because not just for the ladies, but the guys felt like, well, I'm never going to amount to anything unless I have a huge chest, you know, a nice looking jawline and look
exactly
like one of those big guys.
Totally. But I think one of the things that I sort of realized as I was writing the book is, and it was sort of a lesson learning, is that all of that is so surface. You know, like, no one can choose the way they look, you know? So at the end of the day, you can talk about how attractive a character is to your blue in the face, but the readers will not root for them unless they have the personality to back it up. And so that kind of shows you, you know, how brainwashed we are into just being obsessed with looks. Because I think looks, at the end of the day, A, they don't last forever. B, they're not, the person who has them is not particularly responsible for them. You know what I mean? So
yes.
Once I think everyone accepts that looks are just kind of this accident of genetics to some extent, and that we are all born looking a certain way, and we have no fault and no, we can't take credit for it, I don't know. I feel like the power drains away.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author and award-winning author Soman Chaney. Soman is the author of the trilogy The School for Good and Evil, and this is a young adult trilogy. That's the targeted audience, but adults and anyone can read these, and they're very, I don't want to say easy reading, but they're fast reads. And I don't mean that it's hard academically, but it's just the fact that don't expect, you know, two lines on a page and a big picture, then go to the next one, because these are very, very good novels. And gosh, you've outsold a lot of the mainstream novels that people were anticipating. And this book just broke all kinds of records.
Yeah, I mean, it happened sort of slowly but surely. And I think we built a fan base that just kept, you know, spreading the word. And we sort of knew that it was starting to take hold from the fact that the sales just never went down. It was always, you know, at the same level or going up each week. And so every week there was a whole new crop of readers starting at book one. So, and that just became really important to us, you know.
When you're targeting young adults, and I, as I mentioned, that's the target audience, because that's what people will say sometimes to market it, but it doesn't mean that it's only for young adults. When you're targeting them, what are you looking for, and what did you think that perhaps a young adult would want to read? Because there are all kinds of genres out there aimed at young adults, from The Hunger Games to, you know, Harry Potter, and a bunch of different ways that a young adult can read. But this one, you wanted to, as you mentioned earlier, kind of not attack Disney, but kind of bring out the fact that not everything is a fairy tale and not everybody lives happily ever after. But in your book, in fact, you even describe one of the, I think it's Sophie, is that the one that was evil, studying to be evil?
Yeah.
Okay. And she becomes jealous of some of the other people. So very different twist. Again, because young adults were your target audience and that's what the publisher wanted it aimed at, did you have to do anything special or different when you started writing?
Not necessarily, because, you know, you don't really think about the audience while you're writing it. You don't worry too much about your age range. You're thinking more about, you know, what is the truth here? And then you worry about whether you're going to have to tone it down later. But luckily, you know, I'm not interested in anything too explicit, because I feel like that ruins the sexual tension of kind of the story, you know? So it there was nothing in it that they found objectionable, really. And we just, whatever story I wanted to tell was exactly what showed up on the page. But to me, fairy tales are meant for everybody. So I was trying to write a book that would appeal to all ages, you know, from 8 to 80.
And this book is already been bought out for the movies. So probably your worst fear was if Disney had picked it up to make a movie about this.
It was definitely there. And it's funny because I'm talking to them now about doing another kind of movie for them. And I was definitely worried that they would end up with it, because I felt like they would have changed it. You know, I just felt like they wouldn't have been able to stay true to the visions for the movies. But, you know, Disney's definitely changing with the times also. So it's not the same Disney that it used to be. But we ended up at Universal in the first movie. I wrote the first movie and finished the script recently. And it will come out in Christmas of 2017. That's the plan.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Soman Chaney. Soman is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. This is a novel aimed at young adults, but as Soman mentioned, it's available for, you know, the audience is pretty broad. And it's a good book, good books, actually, I should say. And I'm kind of waiting, because I was on the edge and book three didn't come in yet, but I'm anxiously waiting for that to come in. And I'm sure that your audience out there is also awaiting, as you just mentioned, Christmas 2017. You're going, oh my gosh, that's going to be forever. Mm-hmm. And especially for young people.
Yeah, but it comes fast. I mean, I still remember the, you know, the website saying 250 days until book three comes out, you know, and it came out today. So it does go fast, you know. And obviously, once we start having stuff to tease from the movie, we'll be doing that little by little, and that makes the wait a lot faster. So by, you know, end of next year, we'll have stuff to start showing.
So, I mean, tell us a little bit about what you're feeling as a writer, because sometimes people and parents, you know, they'll get upset that when we look back at some of the older cartoons, Looney Tunes, and the fact that they'll say, you know what, they're laughing at when somebody gets hurt or they're making fun of the violence. And as a writer, when you're writing down story, does that ever cross your mind as far as, you know, what the parents may think or adult audience?
I mean, we've certainly had our share of parents who have objections to certain things in the book. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to express what's true to a story. You know, there's a very clear line when something's gratuitous, you know, and I think there's a difference between having an honest kind of theme run through your story that produces certain events and something like a video game or a violent movie where it's just about how much gore and blood you can pile into a given moment, you know. So to me, as long as I'm telling the truth in a story and it's not, doesn't feel like I'm doing something out of excess, then it never matters to me what people say, because in the end, the kids are going to understand that. You know, we had one section in the second book that a lot of people thought would be super controversial. And there was one reviewer who called it, I remember, she thought it was dangerous. You know, she thought it would put off a lot of readers. And it's funny. We've had, you know, over 100,000 kids in the U.S. read that second book. Not one has ever mentioned that section as being at all surprising. They'll point to a million other parts of the book and be like, oh, wow, that was shocking. That was surprising. But the section that all the sort of gatekeepers were worried about, no kid ever mentioned it because they just don't have as many preconceptions and stereotypes and all these things. And I really believe that when I was fighting for it. I just said, they're not going to think the way you do because the way adults think is different. You know, and the kids just never questioned it. It was not an issue.
Some have also said the critics, whether it be a Disney movie, a Pixar, a DreamWorks, they're going to throw in some subtle jokes or innuendos so that the parents will understand. But the kids, I mean, they'll just laugh or it'll go right by them. Is that something that you think about when you're writing?
Sometimes. I mean, there's times where I've included a sort of, you know, salty joke in there, and you know, my editor will be like, oh my god, you know, and I'm like, the kids will never get it. And she's like, I know, the kids will never get it. And then, you know, we can leave it because they just won't. The ones who get it will get it. The ones who don't, you know, it goes right over their heads and they wouldn't even think about it. But then, you know, the hope is they'll reread it when they're adults and be like, oh my god, how did I miss all this, you know.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author and award-winning Soman Chaney. Soman is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. We were discussing Disney and Hans Christian Andersen, the Grimm Brothers, some of those fairy tales earlier in the program, Soman. And I guess some people would wonder, from your point of view as a writer, and since you're writing good and evil, did you have a favorite good person or evil person, villain in fairy tales or any of those movies that you watched?
I really liked Maleficent in Sleeping Beauty because of how sort of quiet she was, you know, and how she never really raised her voice. It was all so subtle and imposing. So I was quite fond of her. She was really my favorite, I think.
And as a gentleman, what about what we discussed earlier where Disney word comes out and says that you have to be a muscular, handsome-looking guy to succeed in life. Did that affect you or your friends at all?
Probably. I mean, I'm sure it sort of subconsciously affected what we thought we should look like. You know, I think it's definitely part of, but I think it affects girls much more because at some level, you know, they're being told they have to look a certain way to be a princess. I think it more affects guys in the larger scheme of girls want a prince, and what boy can live up to that? I think it just makes boys kind of like more sort of antagonistic to girls at some level because they can't live up to that ideal. So I think it ends up becoming quite a clash of what the other sex wants. And it sort of sets up these difficult gender roles for moving forward into adolescence. So yeah, I think Disney messes up a lot of interesting things. Like, there's a great book called Cinderella Ate My Daughter, which really explores these things by Peggy Orenstein.
And when there are critics or academic books out there, in fact, there's been a lot of mashups about fairy tales and also about, you know, history like Abraham Lincoln and being a vampire slayer. So tell us the difference between what you did and a mashup.
Because I start over. It's a whole new kind of world, you know. It's I'm not looking at the old fairy tales. This is hundreds of years after the old fairy tales. This is a brand new class, you know? So I'm really trying to create a new fairy tale completely. And I think that's what makes it different.
We're visiting with award-winning author, New York Times bestselling author, Soman Cheney. He is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. When we were talking earlier about the villains and the heroes in the Disney movies, some parents or some ladies, you mentioned that it would affect the girls a lot more. What about the fact, you know, we grow up sometimes and we say, well, that person, you know, she likes the bad people, attracts the bad boys because they like to take risks, they like to do different things, whereas opposed to the good guy who is probably sitting at home reading a book, which would be something like me, and people say that that's not what attracts girls.
I think things are changing, though, now. I really do think things are changing because if you look at social media and all the way things are changing, it's a so much more literate culture. You better be a good reader or you're in real trouble, you know? So I think, and also the rise of Silicon Valley and nerd culture and, you know, John Green's books. And I just think nerddom and the Comic-Con world and all these sorts of theories of what makes a attractive man and attractive girl have changed. I think that it's starting to change, you know, but then you also have the Kardashian standard of beauty. I don't know. It's a good question, but I think the world has definitely moved in terms of what's considered beautiful.
We're visiting with award-winning New York Times bestselling author Soman Cheney. He is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. And this is a very different type of, I don't know, Soman, would you call it a fairy tale?
Yes, definitely. Because I think this is a real fairy tale.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because some of our listeners go, okay, what is a real fairy tale and what is not a fairy tale?
I think a real fairy tale is something that uses magic to eliminate a bigger truth, you know? So at some level, I would say these are probably better fairy tales than the Disney ones, because I don't know if the Disney ones actually get to a bigger truth.
There have been recent stories, as you mentioned yourself, as about the Grimm brothers and Hans Christian Andersen, some of those fairy tales. They claim, they say that these are recently found or the hidden, almost kind of like Harper Lee's lost manuscript, and these fairy tales will pop up and people will say, well, it's a marketing tool and it's something that they're doing and I don't want my children to read that. What do you think about some of those fairy tales that people will say are very, no pun intended, grim?
I think it's an interesting question because I think what you actually have to end up looking at is kids can handle a lot more than we think. Kids can handle the truth. They're quite perceptive. And so you have to give them the truth. If you give them the watered-down version of it, that's what they're going to go forward with in life, and you're not going to be able to course correct. Just the way that kids can pick up languages easier than adults, they also pick up life lessons easier than adults. So the time to give them a real story is early.
We're visiting with award-winning New York Times bestselling author Soman Cheney. Soman is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil. And some people may wonder, Soman, okay, this is a pretty successful trilogy. What comes next? Do you have anything in the oven?
Yeah, maybe. I'll start writing pretty soon on something else. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it's cooking.
And one of the things that we always talk about, you know, a lot of stories when I remember as kids in grade school or whenever the teacher said, well, today we're going to write a story. Most of us always started with once upon a time or it was a dark and stormy night. You've taught us to get away from that.
Yeah, I think those things can be played with and used, you know, when you're writing as kind of conventions, but they don't have any power anymore.
What about the And Happily Ever After?
That, the whole series is about. In other words, what does that mean? You know, I mean, I want to know what those words mean. And so that's what the whole book series is about. What is Happily Ever After? You know, what do we do with that conceit moving forward in the real world?
You mentioned some writings, some articles and books about fairy tales. And for those people who may be in academia or may want to pursue something else about the history of the fairy tale or what went on, you mentioned Cinderella 8, My Daughter. Can you give us a little bit of take on that book in case people want to research further? Or do you have a Facebook page or a web page that people can link to find out more about fairy tales and the origin and your books?
Oh, definitely. If you go to schoolforgoodandevil.com, that's where you're going to get the most information. It's a whole universe dedicated to books with everything you can possibly imagine, including for teachers, like downloadable teacher's guides and, you know, video trailers for the books, the quiz to see if you're an ever or never that over a million people have taken, and they'll tell you what percentage you're good and what percentage you're evil. There's just a ton of stuff on there. So schoolforgoodandevil.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Selman Chinotti.
I got the books in print, so I read them, but one of the things that I was wondering about, because I love audiobooks, and I'm just wondering about this as an audiobook. Is it out as audio?
Yes, all three are out as audiobooks, and they're fantastic. Polly Lee is a good friend who does them. She does all the voices. She plays young, old, boy, girl, good, evil. She's tremendous. So audiobooks, have heard nothing but wonderful things about them.
Well, Soman, thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with New York Times bestselling author and award-winning author Soman Chinotti. He is the author of the trilogy, The School for Good and Evil, and you can go to School for Good and Evil. Is it theschoolforgoodandevil.com or just goodandevil.com?
Just School for Good and Evil.
Okay, School for Good and Evil, and you can find out additional information about the books, about Soman, and also check out the audiobook. Thank you very much again, Soman, for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineers, Mike Tipton and Eddie Rosales. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.